I prepared something else to preach today, going back into our study on the qualifications for a pastor. But I feel like this is fitting right here. Today being the 23rd and a couple of days from now being Christmas. And what Christmas is the coming of the Lord to earth, ultimately to die for mankind's sins, to die for our sins. And I want us to look at a thought here in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to learn from this, Lord, and help us to be like these shepherds. Really, in a multitude of ways, God, we would seek and desire to be like them. Help us to glorify and praise you. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this is quite the miracle. We know the part of the story before this, the timing of all of it. I mean, we just went through our play, so it's fresh for most all of us here of what happened with the what we call the Christmas story. But Mary is, told she's with child, and she's with child from the Holy Ghost. And again, that's so important. The virgin birth is so important. And I need to get into it one of these days, but it talks about the genealogy of Christ. And one of them is Jeconiah, one of the kings. He was cursed, and God told him that none of your seed is going to sit on the throne. But that's the line to David. That's the royal line, the royal line and lineage that goes to the throne of David. So there had to be that relationship there in order to fulfill prophecy, because the Messiah is going to be the son of David, and he has to have a legal right to sit on the throne of David. And that legal right comes through Jeconiah, who was cursed. And God says, none of your seed's going to sit on this throne. So when you look at the virgin birth, it's key to all of that. And again, this stuff seemed contradictory until it was all fulfilled. And then the answer was just, oh, there it is. It makes sense now. But at the time, there were so many seeming contradictions, paradoxes, that people said, this cannot be one person. It can't be. But this is why it's so important, the two genealogies that are in here. The one in Luke. Let me see how it starts off. I don't want to mix them up. I want to make sure I tell you right. If I can find it. Chapter 3, verse 23. We're not going to read through it, but Luke is Mary's genealogy, and the one in Matthew is Joseph's. Now, who was Joseph? You all help me. Come on, nobody knows who Joseph is? Thank you. Man alive. I have to go to like kids' Sunday school class, pull out the flannel graph and stuff. We don't know who Joseph is. All right, let me see here. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. It gives Joseph's genealogy, and it says, "And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel." Okay, and it just goes through this lineage, and it's Joseph's lineage, which is, what lineage is that? You all help me. It gives Jesus, or it gives the what? The legal right to what? To sit on the throne. It gives the legal right for the heir to sit on the throne. Okay, and you see Jeconias in there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. So here's why the virgin birth is so important. Okay, and here's why it's also important that Mary was espoused to Joseph before she gave birth. Okay, because then basically when Jesus was born, he was legally Joseph's son. Are we getting it? Are we seeing the importance of it? He was legally Joseph's firstborn son, which means what? What's that? Legally, that he had the legal right to sit on the throne, right? Okay, so he had the legal right to the throne of David, which fulfilled prophecy, correct? But now here's something else, is that the Messiah also had to have a blood right going back to David. This is why the two genealogies are there, because Mary was also related to David. Both Joseph and Mary were related to David. And that's why those genealogies take it through David. One of them starts at, I think it's the one in Luke, starts or ends with Adam. It goes all the way back. And the other one just goes to David, I believe. Okay? The one in Matthew goes to David, if I'm not mistaken. But what that did is that covered all the bases, so to speak. So it gave Jesus the legal right to the throne, but it also made him have the blood right from David, being the seed of David. Okay, are you guys following me? This is why the virgin birth is so important. And without the virgin birth, the Bible's done. Okay, salvation's nothing. Because remember, we read earlier that the law cannot be broken. Okay, this is what it's talking about, this stuff like this. It cannot be broken. So all that scripture needed to be fulfilled, and this was done through Jesus, okay? So his birth is a miracle, and the virgin birth has to be there, okay? And he's told all this. The taxing comes around. I mean, God's timing's amazing in this. If you study it out, I think there was three taxations around that time, and it's pinpointed exactly to which one it was that would have gotten Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, which is where it was prophesied that he would be born. And it said he's going to come out of Egypt. I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. And you see all this stuff is contradictory. Wait a minute. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, but he's going to be called out of Egypt. None of this makes sense until we see the fulfilled story. And then it's all making sense. And Jesus fulfills these prophecies. It's amazing. But we see the taxations to happen. They go to Bethlehem, okay? And then where we find ourselves at in this story, verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." By the way, when the Bible's being narrated, so to speak, when God's the narrator of what's happening in the Bible, it never says that Joseph is the father of Jesus. It always says like his stepdad. I forget exactly how it words it. The only time it does call him your father is when Mary says, "your father." But God never does that. Why? Because, yes, he's his stepdad, but who's his father? Okay, it's important we see that, all right? So she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It says, and then we get into where we're at. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And I pray that we would all be like these shepherds in two areas is where I want us to be like these shepherds. One, that we would go seek the Savior, and two, that we would share the Savior. See, every one of us needs to seek Him and share Him. So are you seeking Him and are you sharing Him? You say, "Well, I'm saved. I've already sought Him." Are you still seeking Him? It doesn't end. See, we're to still be seeking the Savior. If you're not saved, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, you need to seek Him for salvation. Because remember, we were talking about the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. All the law does is condemn you. If you've ever told a lie, you're a liar. And everyone in here has probably told, if you're over probably the age of 15, you've told thousands of lies. Thousands of lies. It's not like just one time. I told one lie in my life. God, I'm sorry. No, you've told thousands of lies. You've stolen things. You've blasphemed God's name. You've thrown his name in the mud. You spit on his name. You've hated people. That makes you a murderer. You've had idols in your life. There's things you put, you cherish over God. Sleep. What a sad, pathetic excuse to stand before God and say, God, my idol was sleeping. I just wanted my own sleep. Forget you. I don't care about you. God, I wanted sleep. Whether it comes to being in church, to reading our Bibles, to studying, to whatever it is. Well, I just wanted to spend 4 hours on social media instead of spending time with you, God. That's idolatry. That's exactly what that is. It's idolatry. We've broken God's command so many times, and all they do is leave us condemned. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have never been born again, you've never trusted Christ to forgive your sins, then you're condemned already. It's already like, you're just waiting for your appointment before the judge. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I'm telling you, everybody, you die, you're going to stand before God, and you are already condemned. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are condemned, and you're just waiting for your appointment for the judge to hit the gavel down and say, guilty, throw him into the lake of fire. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That's probably the words you'll hear. That's what we see in Scripture. Depart from me. That last time you're going to see God. Depart from me into everlasting fire, eternal judgment. That's what God's going to tell you, because you're condemned. So we all need to seek Him. Are you seeking Him? And are you sharing Him? So these shepherds, they're just living their life, just doing their job. They're abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, could you imagine if all of a sudden it's night, the angel of the Lord shows up, the glory of the Lord shone round about them? I think it'd be like a bright light shining on them. Wouldn't you be afraid? I mean, think about it. You're just out in the field by night. It's just a normal night. You're doing your thing. Imagine if you were at work, just doing your thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, this bright light, and the angel of the Lord's there. Wouldn't you freak out? I mean, I'd be pretty scared. I'd probably hit the floor and be like, you'd be ducking and hiding. And I imagine that's what they did. It says they were sore afraid. They weren't just afraid. They were sore afraid. I don't know exactly what sore means, if they like started aching or something. No, it means they were really afraid is what it's saying, okay? They were sore afraid, okay? And the angel said unto them, fear not. Notice almost every time an angel shows up to somebody in the Bible, the first words out of their mouth almost every time are fear not. Look at it, because people are afraid when an angel shows up. All right, with the glory of the Lord shining round about them, they're afraid. So he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now look at this. I don't know why these men were selected. I don't know why they got to be the ones to get this wonderful message. But think about it. Isn't that how it is with all of us and the message of salvation? I don't know why it's me. I don't know why I got to hear it. I don't know why I understood it, but praise God. Praise God that the gospel came to me. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ shined unto me. The blinders were removed, and I trusted Christ as my Savior, and my sins are forgiven. I praise God for it. I don't know why these men got it special, but guess what? It's not just for them. It's for all the world. Amen. It's for everybody. That glorious light of the gospel of Christ can shine on everybody. Everyone. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Look at it. Which shall be to who? To all people. God says, this is for everybody. I don't care how wicked they are. It's for all people. Not some, not most, not those that go to church. It's for all people. God says, this is for everybody. I've got some great news, and it's for the whole world. The whole world. It's going to get better as we keep going. For unto you. He's talking to them right there. Unto you. Think about hearing that message. Now, we know it's for the whole world, but if you were there and this angel of the Lord shines and tells you, hey, unto you is born. What? To me, huh? That's what he's saying. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Look at the next two words. A Savior. A Savior. a Savior. Now, he brought good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And he says, unto you is born a Savior. You only need a Savior if you're in trouble. That's the only time you need a Savior. You've been in trouble and you say, help, I need help. You need a Savior. Some of you kids are glad it's on break for school because you were drowning and you needed help with your schoolwork. You needed a Savior. But seriously, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That goes back to the fact I just spoke about that we're all condemned. We need a Savior. So he said, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy. This is going to be great joy because a Savior is born. Look at this, which is Christ the Lord. That word Christ, we hear about it so much, Jesus Christ. We hear about Jesus Christ all the time, and we don't take into account what it means, Christ. It means the Messiah, the Anointed One. What does that mean? That goes back to all the prophecies given of him in the Old Testament. As soon as they heard that word, they knew this is the one that's been prophesied about since Moses. Moses said, one's going to come like unto me. He's going to show up to you. And he's been prophesied all throughout. Now think about this. There was what's called the 400 silent years from the time of, I forget which was written last, if it was Malachi or not. Anyway, whichever book of the Bible was written last. I know Malachi's in there last. I don't know if it was written last. But whichever book of the Old Testament was written last up until the New Testament time was 400, give or take, years called the silent years when there was no revelation being given from God. And now all of a sudden this angel of the Lord shows up to these two shepherds and they're like, what? And he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David. And if they knew their Bibles, they're thinking, wait a minute, this is going right back. And as soon as he said a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, Christ, that's the Messiah. Wait, the scripture said that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. That's the city of David. Remember when the Magi, the three wise men, went and asked Herod, you know, where can we go find this child? When he says, well, let me get some of the priests, let me ask them. And they said, oh, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Because the scripture said it. So as soon as they heard that, they knew this is the one that's fulfilled all these prophecies. He's come. He's here. The one we've been waiting for. The one I've heard about since I was a little child. He's here. He's finally come. Think about the excitement they'd have now. An angel just came and gave us this message. This Savior is here for us. Hey, that's how it is when the gospel shines on you, when you've been convicted of your sin and you've realized that, hey, I need that Savior. Like, hey, a Savior's here for me. A Savior died for me. I can have salvation. I can have my sins forgiven. There's some excitement in that. I remember I was excited. If you weren't, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you if you weren't excited? I mean, I still get excited, obviously. I thank God I have a Savior. I thank God He died for me. But a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then look, we might not look at it like this, but what this is, what we see here, is this is more fulfilled prophecy. What's told right here is prophecy, although it's fulfilled pretty quickly. But look, it says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Look, there it is. It's a sign. He says, I'm about to give you some prophecy, this angel says. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So a baby's been born. And this baby is going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's how we're going to know what he said is true. That's prophecy right there. Do you realize that? I bet most of us don't think of it as prophecy, but that's exactly what it is. It's prophecy. At least for them, because they hadn't seen it yet. So here's what you're going to find. You're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Look, a heavenly host, the host of heaven shows up and is with this angel of the Lord and they all start praising God. I wonder how loud that was. I wonder if that blew them back, a heavenly host. If you look at how many angels there are in Revelation when it talks about it, it's like there's like, it's an astronomical number. It's huge how many angels there are, like millions of them, if not more. I forget. I have done the numbers before, but I forgot. But there's a huge amount of them. And this heavenly host shows up and starts praising God and saying, I wonder just all those voices at once, if it was like, you know, like blowing them or anything, if they felt it. I don't know. But they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. peace and goodwill to men. See, that's what God wants to bring. He wants to bring peace. Peace. See, because we're God's enemy, this brought reconciliation, which is peace. Peace. But you see, what's required for us to have this peace is repentance. Repentance. It's that surrender. That surrender. Now, when I was at a camp meeting there with the Hinsons a while back, a couple months ago, one of the men that was there, Brother Kidman, he said, you know, only enemies need to surrender. Only enemies surrender. But a Christian, you don't surrender, you submit. Oh, that's good right there. Because what are we before salvation? We're an enemy. We're an enemy. Romans 5:10, Romans 8:7, we're his enemy. Therefore, we have to surrender. And that's why repentance is required. I tell ye nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that. If you don't repent, if you don't surrender, which is a turning from your way to God's way, if you don't do that, there will be no salvation. And that, I'm afraid, is the reason why a great majority of the people we talk to and share the gospel with do not get saved, is because they are not willing to repent. They're just not willing to do it. Oh, everybody believes in Jesus, but there's no repentance. And we must demand what God demands of people. We're not putting an extra requirement. We're demanding what God demands. And God demands repentance. See, Jesus said, I came to bring peace, goodwill. I want to reconcile you. That's why Christ came, was to reconcile sinful mankind with the Father. Reconciliation. You're no longer an enemy. That is good news. I don't want to be the enemy of God. Look at what happens to the enemy of God. Go to Psalm chapter 2. Save your spot in Luke. I mean, look at how he just handles them. All right, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. So look, are these the enemies of God? What do? They set themselves against the Lord. And against who? His anointed, that's Messiah, Christ. Here's what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What are they talking about right there? What's that talking about? His law. His law. I don't want his bands. I don't want his law holding me down. I can do what I want to. It's my body. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. But I don't want God ruling over me. Love is love. Not what it is. Who are you to tell me that I can't be with someone I'm not married to? How dare you judge me? You know, I was reading a lady I'm friends with on Facebook. She grew up in a drunkard's home, was abused and everything. And she just posted on her Facebook, she says, I thank God that, you know, my grandchildren will never know, Lord willing, she said, my grandchildren will never know the taste of alcohol. I grew up in a drunkard's home. She goes through all of this. And she says, Lord willing, my grandchildren will never know that if they know the Lord. And all kinds of people jumped on there and jumped down her case because she said, well, what are you saying? That people are bad if they drink? My dad drinks and he's one of the greatest people in all the world and all this stuff. And they just came at her, attacking her. And many of them profess to be Christians. But what are they saying? They're saying, I don't want God's bans on me. And she started quoting scripture to them and they just ignored it and went on saying what they were saying and justifying drinking and alcohol and all of that in their lives. And she just kept quoting scripture. But what are these professing Christians saying? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Don't tell me what to do. I don't have to listen to you. But look at God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now think about that. Think about it. That's like you. Think about you, 4-year-old you, okay? Looking at an army of roly-polies coming to get you. I mean, now a 4-year-old boy especially is going to be like, yes, come on, bring it on. He's going to be laughing at him. He's like, ha, 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 ha. I mean, that's how a 4-year-old boy is going to act when some roly-polies come to try and stop him. I mean, he's going to love it. He's going to pick them up and flick them and everything. I mean, just throwing them at his sister, all of it. I mean, everything. That's what he's going to do. He's going to love it. It wouldn't scare him at all. He's going to laugh at them. That's what it's like when the kings of the earth stand together against God. He's going to laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. It's not going to be good for the enemies of God. This is what God has in store for his enemies. This is why repentance is required, to bring peace, reconciliation. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What'd they do? They came with haste. There was some excitement to what was going on. They heard some amazing news and they were excited about it. That may be how you were once you found salvation. There was some excitement to it when you found the Savior. I mean, you wanted to find him. You wanted to know him more now. We got to go see this thing. This is amazing. I got to see this. That may be what started bringing you to church. Hey, I found the Savior. I want to be where he's at. That's what they did. There was some excitement. See, you've got to come to know the Lord as your Savior personally. I didn't care about church before I got saved. I didn't. It didn't matter to me. It was boring. I didn't want to be there. I grew up Catholic and it was worse. I'm telling you it was. I'm not trying to bash Catholics either. My family's still Catholics. Okay, they still are that, but it was boring. Dead boring. I couldn't wait until they came up and took the Eucharist is what they call it. I was like, yes, 10 minutes left. I knew when that happened, I was like, 10 minutes left. We're all standing and everyone's going to the front. Yes. I couldn't stand it. I hated it. It was so boring. And I told myself, I said, as soon as I can decide, I am not going to church. And guess what? As soon as I could decide, I did not go to church. I stopped doing it because I didn't want to. It was boring to me. But there's no, you know, salvation found in that. That's a corrupt gospel. But anyway, just I didn't want to be around it. I didn't care about the Bible either. But when I met the Savior, there was some excitement. I wanted to be around God. I wanted to read the Bible. I was like looking for answers in it. I didn't even know what questions to ask. I just reading it. All of a sudden, I had a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I wanted to know God. There was excitement, which is the same thing we see from these shepherds. Are we like the shepherds? Are we excited about our service to God? I know it can go up and down, and I get that. I understand that. I'm not always excited about serving God, but we ought to seek that. There ought to be at least something in you that says, I want to be around God. I want to be around God's people. I want to be around the Word of God. There should be some excitement in you that says you want that. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Do you come here with haste and excitement, or do you come just dragging in, just like, Let me sit on the back row. Oh, I'm just messing with you. Or is there some excitement when we come to church? We ought to be excited. And then we see verse 17, when they had seen it. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they sought the Savior. But then what'd they do? They made it known abroad. There was some good news. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. They found some good news. There was a Savior, fulfilled prophecy. They went, they saw it, they sought the Savior, and then what'd they do? When they had seen it, they made known abroad. That means everywhere they went, they told people. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. See, there was fulfilled prophecy. The thing that was told them, they went and saw it, and it was true. Maybe that's what brought you to church. I've been told some things about this church stuff, and you showed up. Is it real? Go tell somebody. See, they sought the Savior. We all need to seek the Savior. It doesn't stop. Especially if you're here and you're lost and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you need to seek Him. You need to trust Him. You need to come to Him in repentance and faith. But Christians, we need to keep seeking Him. It doesn't ever stop. Look at what it says about Mary. It says, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's still seeking. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. See, can we just, that's what it means to testify, to be a witness. I'm just going to tell what I saw. I'm just going to tell what I've heard. And just let people wonder. It says in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Now you see, the excitement will wear off. And you just got to go back to life. They returned where? Back to the field. Back to where they'd been for the last 20 years. Back to work. Just back to my life. But they were different. Because they sought the Savior. And they were willing to share the Savior. They returned different. They were now glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Are you different? Are you returning, glorifying, and praising God for all that you've seen God do? See, first off, have you sought the Savior? Do you know Him as Savior? Have you been born again? Have you turned to the Lord, realizing you're condemned and on your way to hell, and that your only hope for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, is found in Jesus Christ the Lord? Jesus said, ye must be born again. You have to turn to Him. You have to receive Him. There has to be a time in your life when you received Him as your Savior. You're not born with it. You have to come to Him and receive it. You have to ask for it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you come to God and asked for that? And then if you have, are you sharing that news? Are you making it known abroad? Who are you telling about it? Christian, if you're not telling people, you are disobedient to God. Period. Who are you telling? Hey, man, Christmas time, we're family parties and stuff. If you have the opportunity, share the gospel. Carry some tracks. Grab a stack of those. This was your life tracks back there. Grab a stack of them. Take 5 or 6 of them. And if the opportunity pops up with your family, be like, hey, check this out. Here, I want you to read this. Read through it first. That's one of my favorite gospel tracks of all time, is that This Was Your Life. It's a good story of salvation and our need for salvation. Take it and offer it to them. Just be like, hey, this will be a help to you. Check it out. And it's like a little comic, so people will want to read it. But share the good news. There's 1,000 ways we can do it. 1,000 ways. Just start doing it. Look for opportunities. Ask God for opportunities to share the gospel. Are you seeking the Savior? And are you sharing the Savior? Let's pray. Father, we